To promote honest and open communication, I told you when I sat down, I told you the month, the date, and the year. I do that just so y'all know. That's a test that they give older people like me to prove that they're not senile. But to be honest, yesterday I was sitting in someone's home and I was discussing business and we were working through some things, and I asked the lady that I was talking to, her and her husband were sitting there, and I looked at the lady and I said, now your dad's name is, and she gave me her dad's name, and I said, I know him. She said, yeah, you know me too. I looked at her and I did not know her, and I said, oh, I do. She said, you don't remember me? And I used to lie about that stuff. You know, I used to lie about it. I just was honest. I just say it now. Nope, I don't know who you are. Don't have a clue. I said, how am I supposed to know you? She said, you performed my wedding. Oops. So today when we turn to Joshua chapter 9, if I happen to say the book of Acts or Genesis, if I call Joshua Samson, y'all just keep right on studying, folks. Well, you're talking about embarrassing. And I just said, well, I am sure sorry. And she said, well, don't worry about it. It didn't work very good. That guy divorced me. So not only was I to blame for not remembering her, I was to blame for the marriage not working. So there is depression in my life today. All right. In this room, there you go. In this room, there are people who are so excited about today, they just cannot contain themselves. Several folks are feeling that way. That's one reason you got the volume level in here. That's fantastic. There's other folks in here that are saying things like, man, I need help. I need it right now. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I can't breathe. You know, it's just those kind of things. Let's rejoice with those that rejoice. Lord says so. So thank God for every good thing He's doing with us. But He also said, let's weep with those who weep. And let's not overlook them. Let's not ignore them. Let's not act like, oh man, what a downer. No. We're in this together, right? And there are days that others of us have been up and others of us have been down and vice versa, and we're just going to be in this thing together. This book, Joshua, was written to folks just like us. To folks that had been through a tough time. These folks had been through 40 years of wilderness wandering. I go 4 hours with something that I don't like. If I can have 4 hours where I feel anxious, 4 hours where I feel nervous or afraid, 4 hours where I feel hungry or mad, man, I think, God, you got to listen to me, man. I need you right now. And 4 hours is a long time. Well, try 4 days. And then, man, what if that made 4 months or 4 years? These folks had 40 years of it. 40 years of walking around in the wilderness without any roadmap. Only directions were coming from the Lord, from that cloud by day and that fiery pillar by night. And they did not know where they were going to end up. Or they knew where they were going to end up, they just didn't know when. 40 years of that kind of anxiety. 40 years of those kind of tests. That's tough. They get on the east side of the Jordan River, get ready to go into the promised land. God had been telling them about it for years. He told Abraham, their great forefather. He told Isaac and Jacob and all the little Jacobites. He told them all. He said, if you can call them Israelites, you can call them Jacobites too. He told them all. He said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you a great nation. And one of your children is going to bless all the families of the earth. I mean, it was a great promise, but they still didn't have it. And they're standing there ready to go in and possess the land God gave them, and Moses dies. And for us, that would have been that moment where we just said, well, it's not going to do it. Nothing can happen good now. But he tells Joshua, here's what it's going to take for you to move on. Now I'm going to say it again like I've said it before. Nobody here has the right to tell you it's time for you to move on. Because I don't know the depth of your sorrow. I don't know the sensitivity of your pain. But there is a time, folks. There is a time you leave the mess in the past. There is a time that you let go of the shadows and you move on. Now, when you decide that it is time for you to move on, here's what God says you do to get there. Chapter 1, he said, be strong and very courageous. We're going to say it. We're going to rehearse these every time until we get finished with this study. Sometimes, folks, you just got to grit your teeth. You got to clench your fist, stomp your foot, and just do something that you don't think you're able to do. Don't get paralyzed by your depression. Don't get paralyzed by your fear. You got to be strong and of good courage, he says. All right, in chapter 2, what did he say? Show your faith. Show your faith. Oh, Rahab wouldn't have been invited to a church potluck ever or a family reunion, but she's the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it was because she had a moment of faith. In your toughest time, show that same faith. Show that same conviction. Have a moment of faith. When you don't know what to do, do something that shows your faith. When you just can't, you don't know where to go, what to do, show a moment of faith and watch God reward it. Chapter 3, what did he say? Consecrate yourself, because tomorrow he's going to do great things. Folks, you got to focus. We live in such chaos. Man, we live in such chaos. Man, there's something going on with me. There's something going on with my mate. There's something going on with my children. Something's going on with my job. Something's going on with the nation. Something, this election, and then my car, and then my kids, and my grandkids, and my next door neighbor, and his dog barked at me. And we got all this stuff going, and we sometimes forget what you got to do is focus. I don't know how God's going to handle all this other stuff, but I do know that He can handle me, and I'm going to consecrate and concentrate myself on Him. Chapter 4, what do you do? If it's time to move on for you, what do? Leave something for the past, for the future. Man, my tongue is all sorted out today. Build something for the future. Leave something for your kids. Some legacy of faith. We talked about it a lot Sunday. If you were here, not here Sunday, you would have been helped by listening to people being honest in this place. There are people that understand their example and their lives, their mistakes has caused trouble in their family, and they don't know what's going to be left behind. But you can, by faith, leave something for your kids that lasts beyond the debts you leave them. Lasts beyond the stories they tell about you. Because faith won't just last for a lifetime, it'll last forever, right? Chapter 5, what did he tell them? Let God take off the reproach, y'all. I don't know what it is for you, but there is something in your... I know you. And if I was... I don't know all of you, but if I'd be honest, I could go around the room, point to you and you and you and you, and I'd say, okay, I know this is holding you back. This is holding you back. This is holding you back. And the reason I know that is because we've talked about it. You know what holds me back. Let the Lord take away your reproach. That's what He did for them. And they were ready to move forward to chapter 6, where they walked around the city Jericho, and it fell down. Man, He did great things through them. So chapter 6, what do? What do? Take your place and do your thing. I love that. You take your place and do your thing. Whatever you were given by God the opportunity to do, take your place and do your thing. Now, I know in this room there are people who have been exposed to the thought, well, I just want to do something very spiritual and very significant for the Lord. I love that thought, but you know who makes that decision? Not you. God does. And you know how you do something significant for the Lord? Take your place, do your thing. All Rahab did was save some spies and hung a rope out her window. Did she do a significant thing for God? I bet the guys that she saved thought so. Maybe nobody else even knew her name until we read it in Matthew 1 that she is the grandmother of Jesus. I'm telling you, don't worry about the significance. Just take your place and do your thing. All right, chapter 7. Don't hide. Don't hide. Man, we've had enough church house religion that says live however you want to. Go to church on Sunday, smile, say God bless, love everybody, hug everybody's neck, carry the right Bible, sit in the right pew, sing the right songs, and give a dollar whether they need it or not. And then when you leave, you live your life like you want to live it instead of how He wants you to. Don't hide. Do things right. Even when nobody's watching, do things right. And if you messed up, be honest about it. Say it. Admit it. I think I told you once before, after my mess, a man who, if I said his name, those of you who've been in church a long time would recognize it. He got a hold of me and he said, Rex, don't tell anybody what you did. Don't tell anybody what you did. And it'll blow over and you'll be speaking again just any day. I don't remember that, the discussion after that, but I remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I don't like telling people what I did. I don't like having to live with that moment in my life. But it's there and it's honest and it's real. So I might as well be honest and real about it too. And only then can God move us from the valley of Achor into that promised land. You get out of trouble into that peace by being honest. Chapter 8, what did he say? Get back to basics. I love that. After they got messed up at Ai, they got messed up because they messed up. And instead of blaming themselves, they blamed God. We never do that. Has anybody in here ever said, well, I can't believe God's doing this to me again? Don't hold up your hands. But because if you didn't hold up your hand, I'd point to you because I know because you told me. We've said it. I've heard you say it. I've said it, and I felt it if I hadn't said it. You go to thinking, something bad's happened. Well, I don't know why God didn't answer my prayer. I don't know why God didn't. Why is God doing this? But God's tearing me apart. Well, the God who put you together has the right to tear you apart. If He brought you in, He can take you out, right? But sometimes we blame Him rather than trust Him. Get back to basics. Trust God. Let Him do His thing. And you do what's right and watch Him take care of the rest. Now chapter 9. Here's the story. You live in the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. You're one of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and Parasites. You live in that land, right? You hear that there's this group of slaves that walked out of Egypt with all the riches of Egypt. You hear that they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. You hear that their God rained bread out of heaven and poured water out of a rock. You hear all kinds of unbelievable stories about them, but you don't know for sure. You know, is that urban legend or what? I guess in this case it would be desert legend. But they all of a sudden, those folks, millions of them, show up on the other side of the Jordan River from your country, and you think, I don't know that I like that. They step in the Jordan River and it dries up. That freaks you out. They march around one of your major fortified cities, Jericho, and it falls down. Now your heart melts. That's what it says. The Bible says their heart melted and nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. These folks are running scared. Now after they got whipped at Ai, everybody said, oh, they weren't that good. They weren't that good. We'll get them next time. And then they wiped out Ai and everybody said, oop, let's go back to the first stanza and go back, right? They all run from them. Now there's some fellas from a place called Gibeon. G-I-B-E-O-N. Gibeon. If you had a real preacher, he would have researched Gibeon and told you what the Hebrew is. He would have told you how many times it's used in the Old Testament. He would have told you how many times this is going to be significant in the future. But sorry, you got me. All right? And here's what I know about the Gibeonites. They don't want to get whipped. They don't want to get worked over by the Israelites. So they come up with a pretty sneaky plan. Look what it says. When the people of Gibeon, verse 3, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. That phrase, resorted to a ruse, is not fair on a day like today to do that to me. They went out as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put on worn patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes.